This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A Thursday. Man, the weeks go quickly when we've got football schedule that we're attached to. And also Major League Baseball with a quadruple header of playoff games of various sorts on Wednesday, but starting at 3 o'clock Eastern time. So 3 o'clock at Comerica Park in Detroit and heading through what was a pretty late final pitch in San Diego, only because there were so many pitching changes, a lot of bullpen games that were out there on Wednesday. And we've got a doubleheader in the American League today, both game fours in which the Guardians and the Royals, so two of the AL Central teams, are on the brink. And I like the five-game format. I'm okay with it. Sometimes it seems like seven-game series stretch on longer than they need to. So we'll see whether or not we get more than a single game five, but we do have one now between the Padres and Dodgers on Friday night back at Chavez Ravine. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Good to have you with us. I've heard from so many of you, even as we've talked about Hurricane Milton. It is moving away from Florida now, and the majority of the storm, not all of it, but the majority of the storm is now offshore and is curving out into the Atlantic. I hope it's not going to hit any of the islands out there, but it has passed across the Florida Peninsula. It is now sitting at a Category 1, but there is still plenty of rain, a lot of wind on the backside of it. And according to the forecast, and I've been watching the Fox Weather Channel all night, they are predicting rain still over the next couple of days until it completely moves by. And the amount of rain that has fallen in places like Tampa or St. Pete, the last I saw in St. Pete, it was 18 plus inches, excuse me. And that was the most of it. But there's been so much destruction, even going back to the 100 plus tornado warnings that were issued in Florida before the storm ever made landfall. And we've been watching and thinking about people in the path, watching different meteorologists that are on the ground in Tampa, where the water was actually sucked out by the storm. I'm not sure if you've ever seen that phenomenon in different videos, but there was a reporter who was standing right there in Tampa Bay, and the water had been completely sucked out. Now, of course, it will come back in with storm surge, and so I just saw online a warning from authorities, emergency responders and authorities, saying do not walk out into the bay because the water is coming back. It's just been sucked into the storm now. So first the tornadoes, and then the rain started to fall, and there was already flooding before Milton ever made landfall. And the latest numbers, 3.1 million customers without power in Florida. And this is a fast-moving storm, but so many people that are in the dark. And in St. Pete, they had to turn off the water because there was a water main break, so there's no drinking water there either. We've also seen the dramatic video of Hurricane Milton's high winds ripping the roof off of Tropicana Field. So the home of the Tampa Bay Rays. Now, earlier, the video had all been from the outside of the Trop. And crazy enough, this is how powerful Milton was. The roof was built to withstand hurricanes because it's in Florida. But this is the deadliest hurricane, the most powerful hurricane that's hit the Tampa area in over 100 years, according to the meteorologist. And so the video from outside watching the roof get ripped to shreds, that was really dramatic. I have just seen now, it's been retweeted by Jim Cantore of Weather Channel, but it comes from Ryan Stryker, who is... he must be the head of an agency because the Tropicana Field was supposed to house a bunch of agents and first responders and even National Guard using it as a staging area in the wake of Milton. Thankfully, they had thousands of cots lined up, but there was nobody inside yet. That's been confirmed by the various news agencies. But this Ryan Stryker has video from one of his security agents inside the stadium. So if you have not seen it, please go and check it out now on my Twitter at @ALawRadio. And it comes from, again, inside Tropicana Field. This is new video. I'd not seen it before, but it's a disaster zone inside. There's debris falling from the top. Of course, the winds are wreaking havoc. The field has been completely littered. They had a bunch of cots and people, as I say, who were set up in there. Well, not the people, but the beds were set up in there for them to be able to use. You can see through the top of the stadium where the flag is blowing in the winds and the powerful winds. So yes, you can check it out at ALaw Radio. It's the first I've seen of the video recently released, and Twix suggested it to me as a video that I would like to see. So I guess based on what I was looking for online and trying to find various reports from inside Florida, the video landed on my feed. So I appreciate seeing that, and definitely go check it out because it's crazy. And then Raymond James Stadium, there was also a video of the field flooded. Wasn't exactly sure where the person was who was taking the video, if he was in the stadium or if he was outside but up high and zoomed in. It was definitely a zoomed in video, but there was water all over the field there. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they got out of town on Tuesday. They were able to get a flight. We heard from them on Wednesday in New Orleans, where they've been working toward their game against the Saints. I think they're using the Tulane facilities not far from the Superdome. And to hear from Baker Mayfield and Mike Evans, it was good to get a little bit of a clarification about what this week is like, and not just their evacuation, but the Buccaneers franchise kind enough to take care of the people that they love, their loved ones and pets too.
First things first, wanted to make sure everybody was safe and everybody's taking the right precautions and doing what they need to do to get things done. Obviously, with the support of the Glazier family, we were able to relocate here, which was huge. Obviously, they provided travel for the team and your family members and pets as well. So that's big time. Just to be able to, you know, shift the focus there, safety first, and then go on.
Yeah, most important thing is that they have their loved ones as well as their pets. And I appreciate Baker mentioning that because I know sometimes – I don't want to say they're forgotten, but when you've got a family that is stressed out and trying to get out of town and feeling like they can't take a pet, or they're going to a place that won't take a pet, which blows me away. But in these types of emergencies, sadly, there are pets who are left behind. Unfortunately, they're left to fend for themselves. And I know animals are not the priority over people. I understand that. And sometimes it's really a painful decision to have to make. But to tie up your pet or to put your pet in a crate or a cage means that your pet that then can't find dry ground or somewhere get to safety. And animals are extremely smart. They have incredible instincts, right? So many of them will be able to get to safety, even in some of the worst storms, if they're free to find that route themselves. But there have been reports of not just pets that have been locked up in backyard cages or runs, but also pets that were tied up in Tampa, in the Tampa area. And so I'm really happy to hear Baker say that they were able to take not just their families with them, but their pets. I know Mike Evans, he evacuated with his wife and his children as well. And both he and Baker were talking about the difficulty of thinking about football when you're also worried about what's happening at home.
I just want everybody to be safe at the end of the day. I mean, we obviously have a job to do, so we're going to do that. The games are still going to be played, but that's the hardest thing, just making sure that everybody is good and just, you know, praying and hoping for the best.
A lot of prayer. It's out of our control. I mean, you know, you can do whatever you need to try and prep your house, your home, wherever you're at. Other than that, it's safety first and getting everybody out. Hopefully everybody listened to the mandatory evacuation. So compartmentalizing one step at a time of the preparation part when it comes to the storm. And then, you know, once we're out of there and realizing that, you know, this could be sort of Sunday to give the people of Florida and especially around our area some hope and something to look forward to watching, whether it be, you know, not expecting anybody to really have power, but finding out the days later and go from there.
Right. I mean, that's something uncanny about sports. New Orleans certainly knows about this in the wake of Katrina and how much the Saints meant to that community when they were back and when they won the Super Bowl. And while Tampa is on the road and won't be playing there at home, and as Baker points out, there could be millions of people still without power on Sunday, I like that he mentions we want to give people something to look forward to, something to think about, something to rally around, just some way to give them joy. And Mike Evans said the same thing. We're playing for something bigger than just a win, bigger than ourselves. But try to put yourself in their shoes. And maybe if you know people in Florida, well, you understand the emotions. And these are professionals. I'm always amazed at how mentally the best athletes can block out what's happening in their personal lives because they're humans, right? None of them goes out there just because they make a lot of money playing football or basketball or hockey doesn't mean they don't have the same challenges, some of the same challenges that we have in our families. And gosh, a car that broke down, someone blew a tire, a kid is sick, you've got family members. Think about Brandon Nimmo of the Mets. He was in tears last night after the Mets clinched a spot in the NLCS, excuse me, because in the middle of the wild card series, about an hour before the Mets started one of their games against the Brewers, he had lost his grandmother. And so he's playing with a heavy heart. So it always amazes me that athletes can go out and do the jobs they can. I suspect that many of them find that a little easier. That's what comes naturally to them, is to be able to lock in. And I know for me, when I lost my grandmother, after a couple of nights off, I needed to get back to work. And this was really the only place where I didn't have that heavy heart. I was able to put it aside. But these guys are all thinking about family and friends and homes that are back in Tampa and won't know what happens until they get back, unless they have someone who goes and check on them, of course, right? But mentioning safety first and a lot of prayers for the people that are left behind, Tampa, St. Pete area being the hardest hit. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Again, if you haven't seen the video, go and check it out at A-Law Radio or Google it if you need to. But it's pretty stark from inside Tropicana Field. Thankfully, no one was hurt. Those are the reports that we've gotten, that no one was inside at the time that the roof was torn off. While we're talking about baseball, and I mentioned Brandon Nimmo and the fact that the Mets have clinched their spot in the NLCS, another miraculous moment for these Mets. And I think there's something to playoff pumpkin. Now, they've had a bunch of gimmicks along the way. Producer Pete could probably speak more to some of the craziness that just seems to surround the Mets all the time. Like Grimace, right?
Yes.
We've seen Grimace on the subway now. He shows up at Citi Field. Grimace, yes, the one from the McDonald's Happy Meals, somehow has given them a rally cry when they were down and out. And now we've got Pete Alonso, who adopted a playoff pumpkin in Wisconsin, and they are rallying around the playoff pumpkin. What is it about these children? They act like children half the time.
It really is. There's so many like extracurricular storylines with this team that is are positives, not like negatives. Like you hear about a team sometimes that may win or may be in the headlines, and they are in the headlines for the wrong reasons. But a lot of the stuff that's around them now is some of it's so silly.
It's goofy. It's fun.
Yeah.
They have fun. And I dare say that helps them survive pressure situations. The fact that now whenever someone hits a home run or gets a big hit, they have the OMG sign and they all pose with it. And by the way, that comes from, it was Gary Cohen, right? Who, or was it Howie? It was Gary Cohen.
Yeah.
When they clinched a playoff spot and they did it with a dramatic home run, right? They, at the end of that, Gary Cohen's call, this was on TV, SNY for the Mets, their home network, from 0-5 to OMG. That was his call. So now they have an OMG side. It's blinged out and they carry it around in their dugout.
And the Jose Iglesias song preceded
that
too. So they've actually had that sign for a little while, and it helped kickstart that whole thing. So you have that, you have Grimace,
now you've got Playoff Pumpkin.
You've got Playoff Pumpkin. So it's and good baseball.
As much as I think the Playoff Pumpkin is terrific and deserves more of the credit, I would say that if people weren't aware of the value of Francisco Lindor, there's no ignoring it now.
2-1 to Lindor. Now the pitch, swing and a drive towards the gap in right center, it's pretty deep, it's back near the wall, it's gone, Francisco Lindor, he may have just outdone himself, he has hit a grand slam into the Phillies bullpen in right center field. The Mets are leading by a score of 4-1, they were famished for the big hit all night, and Francisco Lindor just provided a feast. Mets 4, Phillies 1 here in the sixth inning.
This is what I wanted. I came here to play winning baseball and to get opportunities to win a World Series, and we got to keep on climbing. I mean, thank you, fans. I love you guys. Met Nation, amazing. I'm blessed. Glory to God. I'm blessed. My daughters and my wives are here, and they get to watch Daddy do something special.
He actually did his post-game press conferences with a daughter sitting on his lap drinking out of a Gatorade bottle. So, yeah, it's a family affair with the Mets. A huge hit. You hear Howie Rose's call on Mets radio, and he's right. They had been looking for that breakthrough inning all night long. They left the bases loaded in the first and the second against the Phillies. Meanwhile, the Phillies took advantage of an error in the field to be able to score a run. But bottom of the sixth, it went from a 1-0 Phillies lead to a 4-1 deficit for Philadelphia, thanks to that Lindor grand slam. And Edwin Diaz, as much as he has had to pitch in unorthodox situations and has been asked to get extra outs beyond what he would normally do. It's been an up and down year for Edwin Diaz. He walks the first two Phillies he sees in the ninth inning, of course, but then he comes back with a couple of strikeouts, including Kyle Schwarber. So the Phillies wanted to get back to the top of the order, but Kyle is 0-10 in his career against Edwin Diaz, and I think has 7 strikeouts now against him. So first save of the playoffs for Edwin Diaz, and as you can imagine, this is going to be right up there on his highlight reel.
So right now, it's one of my top 3 moments as a Met, because, you know, I got the chance to, they give me the ball in the night to send our team to the next series, and that was big for me, you know. This year, it's been up and down to me, but at the end of the day, I've been able to do my job, and I feel really proud.
I mean, if you were to write down and put it in a movie what's happened in, like, the last 10 days, let alone this season, you would say, no, that's not possible. You know, that's fiction, and it's just not possible. But it's real life. It's happening right now.
You can hear the emotion in Nimmo's voice. Again, tears streaming down his face. He's been missing his family and dealing with the loss of his grandmother, even as the Mets were away from home for the better part of 2 weeks. So back-to-back games for them at Citi Field, but they'd been gone from Atlanta to Milwaukee, then back to Atlanta, then back to Milwaukee, and then to Philadelphia. And that's where the hammer drops. And this is with the Phillies. They also had multiple opportunities last night to be able to force a game five. They go 0 for 9 with runners in scoring position. They leave 9 guys on base. And so after 95 wins and the ability to skip the wild card round, so having that first week off, this is obviously extremely disappointing for Rob Thompson and the Phillies.
And it always is, you know, especially when we got off to the start that we got off on. So, yeah, it's disappointing. But the thing that's not disappointing is the character that's in our room, the professionalism, the way they go about their business, the way they their work ethic. And that's not just the players, but it's also the coaching staff, support staff. We have a really great group. We got, you know, we got beat in a short series.
Is there a lot of things that we could have done better? Yes. Is there things that we could have done different? Yes. Do I think that they are a better team than us? No. But this series, they were.
Nick Castellanos obviously disappointed. Bryce Harper said the same thing. We wanted to step up more. We really did. And you wonder what might happen in the offseason with the Phillies. If I remember correctly, they had a 2-1 lead in the World Series in 22 and ended up losing that World Series, right? So they got all the way there. But that was supposed to be a year ahead of schedule, right? That was out of the blue. The Phillies were a wild card, and they made it all the way to the World Series. Then in 23, they lost in Game 7. So this was last fall. They lose in Game 7 to the Arizona Diamondbacks. They fall short in the League Championship Series. And now out in the division series without forcing a game five against the rival Mets. Just a tough situation for them, and you wonder what might change. It's the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. But this has got to be deemed by some fans, maybe even management, a big miss, a failure even, because they felt like this was their window, and they did win 95 games this year. Now, coming up on the back half of the hour, the Dodgers, who had 96 wins this season, they have forced a game five against the San Diego Padres. And it's a weird, 98 wins this year. They won 98 games. Let me not gyp them by their three extra wins. This series has been weird. Pendulum swinging wildly in each direction. The Dodgers use 8 pitchers and the Padres don't score at all. And so this is a clear and definitive win by the Dodgers as they send the series in game five back to Chavez Ravine. So we'll get to more baseball on the back, but I wanted to bring part of my conversation with Mark Ross back to the table, because we talked about some of the major issues right now in the NFL as we head into week 6. How do the Jets fix their offense? Also Drake May, why does he think it's a good idea to put the rookie out there in place of Jacoby Brissett, despite the porous offensive line? And then a little bit on Jaden Daniels and what he sees, because Mark's background is in scouting and player evaluation and great stuff. I always learn something from him. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Thanks so much for joining us on this Thursday morning. If you haven't seen the video from Tropicana Field at A-Law Radio, so glad there was no one inside, but I don't know now if they'll even be able to repair it. No, there's been a lot of...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Left 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk about getting a new stadium. This is not how you want to force that issue. Still thinking about and praying for those people who have seen Hurricane Milton go overhead in the last 12 hours. It's After Hours here on the Infinity Sports Network.
Hits, misses, and messes. Time to talk football After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Had the great opportunity to catch up with longtime scout and front office executive Mark Ross, who's now with NFL Network, and he does player evals. He's got a scouting background, so terrific to ask him about various storylines unfolding in the NFL. And we started out talking about the Jets, and he had just written this article about players who were starting slowly. So it was after the first 4 weeks of the season, players that were potentially going to pick it up after the first month. And the very first guy he mentions in this column is Aaron Rodgers. So I wanted to talk to him and in the wake of the Robert Saleh firing, see his reaction and how the offense might get better with this move. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, and this portion of the show sponsored by the new 2025 Hyundai Tucson Hybrid that has class-leading advanced safety features like the available blind spot view monitor to make your ride more enjoyable. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Glad to share part of this interview with you because Mark is so good. So yeah, wanted to ask him about Aaron Rodgers and the slow start and what happens now.
Yeah, I wrote that article, then he delivered for me with three picks a couple days later. And in the article, the first thing I said was I was skeptical about him, not this year, but last year I was skeptical about a 39-year-old player who had been on the downside. And I was even certainly much, much more skeptical coming into this season with a 40-year-old guy coming off of an Achilles. It's never been done. It would have been a historic accomplishment for him to play at a high level. And I had seen, and I've been saying it for the last couple of years, that Aaron Rodgers had been playing well. And I've been scouted for 20-plus years. And when players start to decline, and especially quarterbacks, when they get older, father time is undefeated. I never saw a player get better. I'm just going off the history of thousands and thousands of players that I've been around and seen. So I didn't feel as if there was hope for Aaron Rodgers getting better from what I had seen on the field. And when quarterbacks get older, they don't, and the things that made Aaron Rodgers special was what, hanging around in the pocket when things broke down, I'm going to work magic and get out of there and start making things happen. And he just doesn't do that anymore. He doesn't have the ability to do that anymore. Also, older quarterbacks, they don't like the rush. They don't like stuff in their face. They just, they've taken enough hits and they don't like it. And you saw that the last few years, even with him in Green Bay, where he just didn't like it. And getting the ball out as quickly as possible to avoid hits and go with your first read. And I had seen it enough with quarterbacks and older quarterbacks that they just try to get it out as quickly as possible. And that's what you see with their offense this year. And then also, he's injured, and he can't move around. And I had seen that as well at Green Bay, where he didn't move around as well to make plays, which made him special. And he can't do that anymore. So with those two things, we can go through other things, but just those two major, major factors right there, where stuff is in my face, I can't deal with it, I can't get out of pressure, and I can't make plays anymore like I used to. That's why you're seeing a diminished Aaron Rodgers and a diminished Jets offense.
I'm a little surprised that the run game hasn't been more consistent for New York, but what's the solution in order to cover up some of the losses to his skills at the age of 40?
Well, keep looking at games like you just saw the other day. The majority of the times when we talk about things being fixed, well, sometimes things just can't be fixed. And there's no answers. And that's why there's teams that make the playoffs, and there's going to be a bunch of teams that don't, and there's going to be a bunch of bad teams. If every team could fix their problems, they'd all have winning records and they'd make the playoffs. But there's a hierarchy of here's the really good teams, here's the mediocre teams, and here's the bad teams. And some teams can't straighten it out. When you look at the Jets offense, number one, you know, you've got a quarterback who's bottom tier, not playing well. Then you've got an offensive line who's not good either. And then you look at the skill players outside of Garrett Wilson, they don't have much there. And I know Woody Johnson said this is the most talented team he's had since he's been there. But when I look at that offense, it's just not a ton of talent. You know, they bet a lot on old linemen to come in there, Tyron Smith and Morgan Moses to help out. And it was just a lot of a high risk, somewhat minimum reward for a lot of the players that they brought in there. So there's just a lot of fundamental problems that they have there at that offense.
Mark Ross is with us from NFL Network, an analyst that you'll see on game day coming up on Sunday, week 6 already. Wow. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I like the foresight in your column because you also talked about Drake May, admitting that it was a little bit of an unconventional guy to include, but he didn't play for the first 5 weeks for the Patriots. We now know they're going to him in week 6. I'll admit I'm a little worried about the young guy behind that offensive line, but what do you see?
I went to the Patriots camp during training camp, and the staff was all in on, we're going to play Jacoby Brissett. We're going to run the football. We're going to play tough D. You know, everybody, the personnel staff, the coaches, like, okay, that's well and good, but all right, when you start losing games and you don't look good, then what are you going to do? And you've got this player, this quarterback, who's you took up there for a reason, and everyone was excited about for a reason and didn't trade out of there and took him for a reason. You know, it's only a matter of time before you had to get him on the field. And as bad as that Patriots offense is, it's like, all right, what are you going to do? Keep putting Jacoby Brissett out there and scoring 8 points a game and everybody's miserable and there's no hope? That's not a strategy. You can't just keep doing that. All right, people are worried about Drake May, but you know what? You might have a C.J. Stroud situation. Last year when C.J. Stroud started that season, there was not one person that thought that C.J. Stroud would do what he did and were worried about the personnel he had around him with the Texans. So if you never played C.J. Stroud, you wouldn't know you had C.J. Stroud. And so it's the same thing with Drake May. If you're worried about him, but maybe he is a revelation and he raises the level of everyone else around him. He makes the offensive line better because the sacks that Jacoby Brissett took, Drake May maybe can work his magic and escape the pocket and make plays on the move. And that's the element of a franchise quarterbacks who turn out to be great, is that they can take that. They can take the adversity. They can take the punishment. They can take the up and down and still come out better for it on the other end. And if you don't play him, you just don't know if you have that. So, you know, the concern of him getting beat up, well, if he's the guy and he's resilient and he's tough, he'll make it out better on that end of it. And if he's the man and he's a revelation like C.J. Stroud was last year, then you're super happy for it.
Well, what about in Washington, where the number 2 overall pick, Jaden Daniels, has been supremely accurate to start the season? They've won 4 in a row. It's kind of like they think they've got the next year's version of C.J. Stroud.
Well, they got him. There's no guesswork in that. I mean, he looks like a star already. I love Jaden coming out. I thought it was razor thin between he and Caleb for that first pick. I thought, you know, both of those guys were destined to be stars in this league. And Caleb started slow, and he's showing you that he's going to be right there too. But Jaden really jumped out there, you know, pretty much game two and just taking the league by storm with the things he showed at LSU. You know, as a scout, I always go back to that. You always want to see the elements of what you saw as a player in college that transfers to the NFL. Like, those are the things. And what you saw Jaden Daniels at LSU, you're seeing those things now. The poise, the playmaking, the vision, the confidence, the leadership, the dual threat, you know, the most explosive runner since Lamar coming out. So you're seeing all those things. And he's, again, talked about Drake May being a revelation. Jaden Daniels changed that entire franchise just by being him. They had a nice infrastructure around him, but he's raised the level of everybody in that D.C. area. You know, the team, of course, you know, he just raises everything. And where we're talking about, okay, Washington may be a, you know, good team, scrappy and all, now you're talking about, man, they're probably the best team in the NFC East and looking like one of the best teams in the NFC. And this will continue. This is not a fluke. It'll continue for Jaden Daniels.
The Cleveland Browns, you mentioned, they're terrible. They're 1-4. And the Deshaun Watson question, people have been expecting this going back to the guaranteed contract, but the defense is also not playing well. What do you do at this point with the Browns?
Number one, you got to play Jameis Winston. You just have to, you know, for the psyche of everybody in that organization. Of course, on public record, the head coach, everybody said, yeah, we believe in Deshaun still, but I guarantee there's not one person who thinks that guy can play anymore. And when you look week after week after week and you just see how abysmal he is as a player, you know, if his name was anything else and he didn't have that contract, there'd be no way he'd still be a starting quarterback in the NFL. And I just think when you know that as a team and you're going in, the team, players are smart. They know. And when you're watching film every week and you're going through those games, that those guys probably just are looking like, what is going on here? This guy is killing us. And it's really is malpractice for an organization to keep trotting him out there because, I mean, he is beyond, at this point, really the worst quarterback in the league. And I think just Jameis, for better or for worse, he's the answer. Of course not. But at least Jameis has shown throughout his career that he can put points up in the board. You know, he can move the ball. He can be streaky. And it seems as if he's got a lot more leadership quality to him there. So I think that Deshaun Watson situation may be the worst trade in the history of sports. And it's just coming back to haunt them still. And it's going to keep haunting them. But for the sake of the psyche of the franchise, the organization, that city, they just can't keep trotting him out there as a starter.
Strong words from Mark Ross, former executive vice president and head of scouting for multiple teams. He's a Super Bowl champion with the Giants twice, and now with NFL Network as an analyst. That whole conversation, that's just a part of it. There's more to the conversation. We also talked about Niners and Cowboys and some of the big matchups coming up. So really good stuff from him. But those are some of the more poignant comments and pointed, I should say, analysis that as we head into week number six could in fact precipitate some changes. Really quickly before we get to our break, I just saw this post from Hall of Famer Tony Dungy. At 5 a.m. in North Tampa, it's all calm here. Very little damage in our neighborhood. We had a lot of rain and some strong winds, but no significant damage. The power went out about 9 p.m., but other than that, we did fine. Not sure about other areas, so we'll continue to pray. Yeah, glad to hear that Coach Dungy and his family are safe, and they stayed in North Tampa. It appears as though St. Petersburg was the hardest hit. Tropicana Field, the roof has been ripped off. There's video on my account at ALOL Radio about, well, what's happening inside the Trop. But also St. Pete, from the reports I've seen, got more rain. 18 and a third inches of rain in St. Pete. And so far, that's the most rainfall that I've seen anywhere. Also seeing now breaking news that rescues are underway early this morning in Florida for people who need help, who need rescue. I'd seen a post from Governor Ron DeSantis about how they were going to wait until the worst of the storm was passed before they got the first responders out there. But now the rescues are underway as Milton has moved off of the peninsula and out to the Atlantic, though there's still rain and wind and a lot of work to do, a lot of work to do. At ALOL Radio, our Facebook page as well. We'll get to baseball to wrap up this hour. We've got one team in to the CS and a couple other potentials, a few other potentials in the next couple of days. Well, duh, of course, we're... That sounded funny. Yes, there's potential because they ultimately have to finish the series. I meant there's potential for two more to get in today and then Dodgers, Padres come up. Oh, goodness. Dodgers and Padres are Friday. It's just been one of those weeks, you know. It's football season. This is what happens to my spaghetti plate brain. Here's our latest sports update. Yay. And here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
All right, and with the Dodgers, no interest in going home just yet. They used eight different pitchers to shut down the Padres, 8-0. Gavin Lux, Will Smith, Mookie Betts, they all went deep as Game 5 is back in L.A. on Friday. Meanwhile, the Mets, a lot of traffic on the bases, unable to get the big hit until Francisco Lindor once again provided the big moment.
Now the pitch. Swinging a drive towards the gap in right center. It's pretty deep. It's back near the wall. It's gone. It's gone. Francisco Lindor. He may have just outdone himself. He has hit a grand slam.
Francisco Lindor, your grand slam as the Mets dispose of the Phillies 4-1. Jose Quintana gave up just one unearned run over five as the Mets take the series in four. Howie Rose, the call of Mets Radio Network. Meanwhile, the Yankees upend the Royals 3-2. Giancarlo Stanton, your go-ahead solo shot. Bombers lead the series 2-1. And the Tigers sounds the Guardians 3-0 using six pitchers to get a six-hit shutout and a 2-1 series lead. Aaron Rodgers not happy with the whispers that he was behind the firing of Robert Saleh. Also knows the offense will need to tinker with a few things. They look to climb out of this 2-3 start. It's courtesy of the Pat McAfee Show.
There has to be some change, you know, even just the smallest change to... We need as players to take accountability for what's happened. I think that's the thing that hits you too in the moment is, if I'd played better on Sunday, this doesn't happen. And as somebody who takes a lot of pride in their performance, that was the main sentiment for me yesterday.
Elsewhere, the Raiders make a switch. Aiden O'Connell will start at quarterback against the Steelers as Gardner Minshew heads to the bench. However, Davante Adams, not expected to play, continues to deal with that hamstring injury. Saints now in the hands of rookie Spencer Rattler against the Bucs. Derek Carr week-to-week with an oblique injury. Giants defensive end Kayvon Thibodeau underwent wrist surgery. He's week-to-week. Colts not expected to have wideout Michael Pittman Jr. for multiple games, that due to a back injury. And checking hockey, the Rangers rocked the Penguins 6-0. Flames outlast the Canucks 6-5 in overtime. Jets 6, Edmonton nothing. Golden Knights erased the Avalanche 8-4. And Montreal blanked the Maple Leafs 1-0. I'm Marco Belletti.
This is the Infinity Sports Network. Check out our new and improved website at InfinitySportsNet.com. That's InfinitySportsNet.com.
Diaz on the first base side of the rubber. Rests the glove on his left thigh. Looks into Alvarez. Diaz still staring in. Come set. The 1-2 pitch. Swung on and missed strike three. Put it in the books. And to the New York Mets, California, here we come. They have defeated the Philadelphia Phillies 4-1. They take the National League Division Series in four games for the first time ever in their 16th year at Citi Field. The Mets are celebrating a series win. They are out first at the mound, then the rest of them out at second base. Why are they out at second base? Because they're pouncing on Francisco Lindor, whose grand slam gave the Mets the four runs that turned this game around in the sixth inning.
This is not it. You know, we got to continue to ride the wave. We got to continue to believe. It was hard. It's been hard. Nothing has been easy for us. Nothing at all. And everything goes through it. Everything's going to face adversity. And I got to give credit to the players and coaches and the whole, everybody in that building. So.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Well, if it was easy, everybody would be doing it. If it was easy, every team would still be alive. Although if baseball has its way, we might get to a point where 26 of the 30 teams make the playoffs. But for now, the Mets are the first to punch their ticket to the championship series. The NLCS awaits. And as you hear Howie Rose on Mets Radio say, it's their first time since reaching the World Series in... No, reaching the NLCS in 15. Yes. Against the Cubs, right?
Yes. Same year they went to the World Series.
Yeah. Wow. Think about what's happened in our world since 2015. So not quite a decade, but pretty close. The number of teams that have won championships, the number of managers the Mets have had, the number of quarterbacks that Cleveland Browns have used. I mean, just think about all the things that have changed.
Counting this election year, three big election years.
That's true. If you include the 2024 one, right inside of a month now of Election Day. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. That's the most political we get here on the show.
That's it.
We are taboo on politics. We care. Pete and I care about politics. We just don't talk about them on the show. So the Mets are in. They will await the Game 5 winner between Padres and Dodgers. And this was a strange one, considering that it was a 6-5 win for San Diego in Game 3. And the fact that the Dodgers are stringing together pitchers and a rotation and these bullpen starts with duct tape and string, maybe a little putty. This is this is the worst pitching situation still left in baseball in the playoffs. And yet somehow they're able to make this work. And I mean, I know they've got big bats and I know that's huge, but it's not just about the offense. They put up 8 runs against the Padres last night. They chased Dylan Cease early and he was there on short rest. They chased him early. But what was significant is a couple of things. They used 8 different pitchers and those guys combined for a shutout. A lot of them were pitching in unorthodox situations, not closer situations, guys that needed work. And Dave Roberts had said, we're going to do everything we possibly can. We're going to work our way through this. Max Muncy says it's because we all believe in each other and because we're all on the same page.
There's not one person in there that doesn't believe in us, and you know, we got a very resilient group. We've had to go through a lot this year, and you know, the show tonight, the guys went out there, and when their number was called, they went out there and did their job.
It's a big deal for Mookie Betts. He not only had a leadoff or had a first inning home run, but also had another RBI later. So did Shohei, but Mookie's definitely back.
I mean, it's huge. I mean, that's all I want to do. That's really, truthfully, all I want to do is just help us win, set the tone, just do my part. And I know everybody else is going to do their part. I just want to do mine.
Game 5 between these two comes up on Friday. So Friday night, if you've got no other plans, it's an 8:08 Eastern time start, 5 o'clock in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I'll take a 30-inning classic on that one.
Yu Darvish against we don't know who for the Dodgers, but that's pretty much how they put together their pitching now. But we get at least one game 5. We'll see if the Tigers and Yankees can close out their American League Division Series. They take place in a doubleheader on Thursday evening, along with San Francisco, Seattle in the NFL to kick off week 6. And from ABC, the report that Rafael Nadal has announced his retirement. So often breaking news happens like 10 minutes after we get off the air. Still following and thinking about those of you who are dealing with the aftermath of Hurricane Milton. Please be safe. Take care. We're back with you tonight. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boom!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.